Well, good morning. That was good worship. Hope your heart was involved, because that's what makes good worship. Got to have your heart involved, and that's good. This morning, we are blessed to have a guest who will be sharing God's word with us. This is my friend and my brother in Christ, Godwin Madhusudan. Everybody say that together, Madhusudan. And that's the Americanized way to say it. I said, is that good, Godwin? He goes, close. So, Godwin's a little easier. Godwin and I have had a friendship that goes back to the year 2000, which is the first time that I went on a mission trip to India. On that trip, of course, that's a few years ago, and both of us were a little bit younger at that time. I weighed less, and Godwin had more hair back at that time, just so you know. But in that time, from Russellville, Arkansas, we took a team of 21 people, and we mostly did house-to-house evangelism in villages. Some of those villages had never heard the name of Jesus. And then at night, we did crusade services. And a team of 21 is rather large for a mission trip to India. But in 8 ministry days, we saw 5,741 professions of faith in Jesus. It is the closest thing that I've ever gotten to be a part of that's kind of like what you read in the book of Acts, where 3,000 were added to their number or 5,000 were added to their number. And it unsettled me spiritually. What do I do with this? And I spent the next couple of years praying, and I felt like a part of what God wanted me to do was to be a catalyst that more people could participate in the mission that all the nations would worship Him. Long story short, that led me to Parkway Baptist Church to come here to serve as the senior pastor. And you guys have done a wonderful job in many settings, both at home and afar, of sharing the gospel of Christ. And Godwin was a part of that first experience. So, Godwin lives in Kolar Goldfields, India, which is in southern India. Godwin, I am told that less than 1% of people in India are true evangelical Christians. So tell me a little bit, how did you come to know Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yeah, praise the Lord for that testimony. In 1940s, one of the missionaries from U.S. came to India, and he worked in my grandfather's villages, and he shared the gospel to my grandfather, and my grandfather got saved by God's grace. And through my grandfather, my father, my uncles, and my aunt, they came to know Jesus. And through my parents, I came to know Jesus. And if God willing, very soon we are praying to see our son, he's 4 and a half, to be saved by God's grace. So we are seeing the fourth generation of one person being in India almost 80 years back from U.S.
Amen. Does persecution continue to be a reality for Christians and churches in India? And if so, how does that affect Christians in India?
The persecution is really increasing, but it's kind of settled. If you all, the church member, you all remembered in 2008, you all supported for the persecuted Christians in India. But we are not seeing a massive thing happening at a time, but the government now, what we are having is almost, they are declaring themselves as a Hindu government. So they are trying to do all that they can to hinder and stop the growth of the kingdom of God. So we are seeing persecutions, in hardcore persecution, sometimes pastors being killed. Like even me, I've been chased off from villages with knives, people carrying knives to kill me, kind of. So persecution's real, but it's getting, I would say, more professional, if I'm right.
And the government is increasingly making Hinduism sort of like the state religion.
Yeah, the sad thing I want to tell you is Indian government, the Prime Minister of India, he brought a Hindu religious holy book called Bhagavad Gita and gave to United States President.
So that's like the Hindu holy book.
It's a Hindu holy book.
Okay.
He gave it to President Obama, and he was very thankful to receive that. That's a vigorous way the government is working.
Okay. Also, you mentioned, just as a side note of what, and we're sharing this with you to help you understand how to pray and help you understand that persecution is very real today. They are required in India, their children are required to go to the public schools. Homeschooling is not an option. Christian schooling for children is not an option. By law, required to go to the public schools. And if I understand correctly, as children in the public schools, they are forcing children to pray Hindu prayers.
Correct? That's right.
And so imagine if you're a parent and your child has to go to an Indian school and they are forcing your children, even though you are a follower of Christ, to pray Hindu prayers. And if you don't send your children to that school, you as a parent will go to jail. So that's another example of the reality of persecution in India. Godwin has been called to lead a ministry for the last couple of decades called Young Reapers for Christ. Godwin, tell them a little bit about what is the purpose of this ministry and how is the work going?
Yeah, in the year 1996, God led me to start this ministry, Young Reapers for Christ. And we are, the slogan what we have in ministry calls, we are called to reach and teach, reaching the unreached and teaching the reached to reach the unreached. It's a cycle. That's what we are doing. And in the past 21 years of ministry, by God's grace, we have just celebrated 20th anniversary this year. And we have seen more than 260 churches being pioneered and 116 pastors in the ministry working across in different places of India. And more than 300 pastors being trained in and through our missionary training centers called Institute of Missions and Evangelism, which we started in 2004. And we have an orphanage, and we're also having different ministries in different levels across India. And also we are trying to reach the neighboring nations like Sri Lanka, Malaysia, Nepal, Bangladesh. In these areas, we are stretching out our foot because that's what I believe God has called us to do in the country and out of the countries wherever God takes us to.
If in the future we were to send a team to help you with the work that you do, how might we help you, and what are some of the needs that you have?
By God's grace, thus far in our ministry, we have reached more than 400,000 people one-on-one. And we have given more than 350,000 Bibles to all the people we visited and shared the gospel. And we have seen more than 250,000 or maybe more professing the faith in Jesus, and they're praying the prayer. And we are not sure how many of them are really sure about their life giving to God, but we saw those things. And having all this done, the greater need for us now is to disciple for the follow-up work, which is very challenging. And discipleship is needed, and also encouragement for couples, young adults, and pastors. These are the areas all together, like discipling. And also we can do door-to-door, like I was talking, which will help our new believers to understand how they can do, and also we can reach more people. But the evangelism work, the doors are getting narrow.
Okay, very good. Let's take a moment right now to pray for Godwin, to pray for the people of India, particularly believers in India. And then let's also pray that God would give us receptive hearts as Godwin shares the message with us here in just a moment. Come on over here, brother. Father, we want to pray for our friend and brother in Christ, Godwin, asking God that you would give him the strength and the wisdom and the anointing that he needs to lead the ministry that you've called him to lead in India. Father, we pray for your protection for Godwin. We pray, Lord, for the resources that he needs. We pray, Lord, for the specific leadership of your Holy Spirit, step by step and day by day. Father, we pray for your Spirit to do a mighty work in India that can only be explained as the work of God himself. Father, we pray for the people of India that in the midst of persecution, you might grant them protection and strength. You might grant them your grace. And Father, we pray that in the midst of persecution, as it has always been throughout history, that it would be like pouring gasoline on a fire, that the kingdom of God expands in a great way in India in the days to come, in part because of the persecution that is coming to them at this time. Father, we pray for Parkway as a church, that if there is a role you would have us play, to send a team to financially support or something else, that you would make it clear to us, God, what our part in support of this ministry might be. Now, Father, as Godwin brings us the word of Scripture, we pray that our hearts would be receptive, that we would listen with a hunger in our hearts and a willingness to obey and follow you and live your way. And I pray that you would guide this time and bring about your purposes in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, church, for your prayers and your support. And surely I have to say a big thanks for all that you have been in our ministry in India thus far. I know most of you all are praying for us, and so do we. We are praying for you all almost every week. As we gathered as staffs, we pray for Parkway Baptist Church, and we pray for certain individuals here in the church, specifically for their needs. God has been good, and today, as I'm going to bring the Word of God, I stand here with humble heart that only God should do. Today my words, the title of the message would be The Fervent Prayer. Dear church, we are in the end time. And as we are in the end time, we as a church, we are expecting God to do greater things. Because the evil one is working across the world in a greater measure like never before. It can be said like that is because one of the reasons the population across the world is increasing, and the people group and their mind is so much deviated from the truth, so they are kind of getting into dark world, because the ruler of this earth is trying to dominate even the churches nowadays. So as we are into the end time, we don't know when Jesus is going to come. My prayer is to see that the churches will be on their knees to see God working wonders in and through the church. So, the fervent prayer. In the book of James, chapter 5, verse 17 and 18, talks about Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. Dear church, Elijah was a man just like you and me, but he prayed a fervent prayer. I asked God, God, what is a fervent prayer? Why Elijah? In the entire Bible, you can see when it talks about prayer, it does not mention, nobody else's name is mentioned like Elijah. The Bible very clearly states that Elijah was the man who prayed a fervent prayer. And I ask, how is that he prayed the fervent prayer? If you see in the Bible, Moses prayed, and he was in God's presence almost 40 days and 40 nights, and almost he saw God face to face. And Daniel prayed, Nehemiah prayed, and many others, David prayed. Many prayer warriors were there in the Bible, in the Old Testament. And also, if you see the life, the way they prayed, it was entirely different, fasted and prayed. In a challenging time, they prayed. But when Bible is talking about Elijah, it talks something different. He prayed a fervent prayer. Dear church, when I was asking this, God took me to the verse which we all know, 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. It says, Now Elijah the Thisbite of Thisbe in Gilead said to Ahab the king, As the Lord the God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word. He says here, before whom I stand. Dear church, this is what the key thing. Elijah was a man who was able to say to the people, and who was able to stand and say, I am the person who stand before the Lord. He had an opportunity. He had a lifestyle. He had a lifestyle of standing before God. Even in the book of 1 Kings chapter 18 verse 5, he says, before whom I stand. He had a lifestyle of standing before God. Who can stand before God? Dear church, there are two people group can stand before God. Number one is the one who has been born again. Unless and until a person is born again, having an experience of being saved by God's grace, he cannot stand before God. And number two, a person who lives a righteous life after being saved can't stand before God. Not the person who lives a carnal life can stand before God like Elijah was doing. There are three different kinds of prayer in the Bible. Number one is a person who is not saved. Unsaved person can pray a prayer. This prayer is a prayer that he can say, God, save me and have mercy upon me. I am a sinner. I want to be a child. That is number one prayer. Number two is a man who lives, after being saved, a man who lives a carnal life, a life not obeying God. These three prayers are in the church. Number three is the person after being saved who leads a righteous life. Dear church, the church is struggling with these two different groups of people in the church. One is unsaved people, and number two is people who are living a carnal life. What is this carnal life? What the Bible talks about that? If only we see who can go into God's presence. The Bible very clearly says in Psalms chapter 15 verse 1 through 5, O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell in your holy hill? He who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks what is truth in his heart. Unless and until a person leads a righteous life in his heart, unless and until a person walks right in the ways of the Lord according to the word of God, he cannot stand in the presence of God and pray the prayer of righteous man's prayer. And dear church, like I said, three different kinds of prayer. As I go across the world and I travel across India and I preach in churches and different places, I see most of the churches, almost all the Christians, love to say the word prayer. We say we want to pray. We say we want to sing. We say we want to worship. Most of the time we say, okay, we'll pray. We will do this. Dear church, prayer is not just the word. For me, for us all, prayer should become a lifestyle. If you are not leading a praying lifestyle, a lifestyle of a prayerful person, we cannot be a person standing before the Lord. A carnal lifestyle. Proverbs 28:9 says, if anyone turns away his ears from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. If somebody is not obeying the word of God, doing the will of God, doing what God is asking them to do, and that person goes to God's presence and prays, his prayers called in the Bible as an abomination. How many of us, many a times we do this prayer? We are not obeying the word of God, but still we are praying unto God for answer. And number Psalms 66 verse 18 says, if I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. He says, if I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. If we have iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not listen. He will listen, it will be like an abomination to him. And verse John chapter 9 verse 33 says, we know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. This is when we are living a life that is not pleasing unto God, dear church, we cannot expect God to answer our prayer in the ways that we want the answer. Most of the time, we conduct prayer day, fasting and prayers, and different kind of things in India. They do prayer in the way that in a traditional way. Traditional prayer is not the one God wants us to pray. God wants our heart to be torn apart, like in Joel. In the book of Joel, it says, our heart should be torn apart like a ragged cloth. And that's the kind of prayer God is seeking the church to do. You and me are called to pray the prayer that God is pleased in it, not the words. We are not telling God in prayer what he doesn't know. God knows everything. We are not trying to be smart in our vocabularies. We cannot be smart in our way of approaching God. God wants to see our heart, our life being broken down when it comes to the prayer. Dear church, God has been teaching me on church in the past almost a year. Church have to have four key things very clearly understood and executed. Number one is the word of God. Number two is a prayer life. Number three is worship. And number four is missions. Word of God, the man who knows the word cannot stop praying. A man who knows the word and obeys the word will pray a real prayer that pleases unto God, that brings answer from heaven. A man who knows the word will pray. A man who prays will not stop worshiping. If he knows to connect with God, if he knows to draw nearer to God, a man who knows to walk closer to God in prayer cannot stop worshiping. Worshiping is not just prayer. Praise and worship that we do on the stage, in the church, or sometimes listening to the music. Worship is a lifestyle. Every word we speak, every thoughts that we think, every deeds that we do can turn into worship, can become a worship. So, a man who knows the word and obeys the word will be a praying person. A man who prays a real prayer will be a true worshiper. A man who really worships the Lord cannot stop being on missions. He will be on mission. Mission is starting from our home, starting from your family, starting with your kids, your family members, and then going into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and uttermost part of the earth. What is the measure of the missions that a person can be involved? Starting from the house to the ends of the earth. There is no limit for this. And that's where every church God wants to see. Every church should be involved in the word very true. Truly sticking to the word. I believe this church, God has blessed you all with a good pastor who teaches the word. Teaching the word and obeying the word. Like in Psalms 1st chapter talks about, David is saying, he says, I meditate the word of God day in and day out. What that means? I ask God, what that means, meditating the word day in and day out? For me, God taught me, meditating the word is reading the word, understanding the word, and doing the word. Reading the word, understanding the word, and doing the word. That's what's called meditation. If we live a life of really meditating the word, we will be a real prayer warrior. When we are a real prayer warrior, we will go to another level of worshiper, a true worshiper. Without knowing a word, a man cannot pray a right prayer. Without praying a right prayer unto God, he cannot be a right worshiper. And if he's not a right worshiper, he will not be a true mission field. The church is suffering because in many of these areas, the church is not true most of the time across the world. We are trying to please God in our own measure. We are trying to do things to God in our own understanding. I just love the verse I read in the whiteboard in Brother Benny's classroom. I don't know, I just took that picture. It says, we have to break down our plans. We have to say no to all our plans and our thoughts. And we have to go into God and say, God, here we are. Let your will be done. Use us for your glory. So carnal prayer is the most of the time, that's what churches are doing. Carnal prayer. If our life is not pleasing unto God, if you are not forgiving one another, if you are carrying bitterness in our life, if you are not having a real tender heart, a humble heart, if you are proud, if you are having all these things, we are still living a carnal life. Carnal, I would say, the churches most of the time are filled with. I believe this church is growing. Whatever I heard and what I'm seeing happening in this church, I see this church God is using, God is raising, God is taking this church to another level. But many a times it's sad to see the pews are filled with child-like believers in the church. The churches are becoming into problem. The church is coming into problem is because of many children in the church. Not matured enough to lead a right godly life. So, and also, a righteous man prayer says this. In book of 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 12, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. The eyes of the Lord are towards the righteous. Dear people of God, we know that we are called righteous people because of what Jesus has done on the cross and because of our belief in Jesus and because God has called us into his fold and saved us by his grace, we are righteous. But we have to lead a righteous life. We are being justified, but we have to be sanctified every day. Sanctification is a key thing for our Christian walk. Not, we cannot just say that, God, we have been justified, so we are fine. We have to lead a life of sanctification. Every day, our thoughts, our eyes that we see, our deeds that we do, the plans that we plan should be according to the word of God in a holy manner that is pleasing unto God. If we are not leading a sanctified life, we are not leading a righteous life. And we cannot pray a righteous prayer. And the Bible says in book of James chapter 5 verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Confessing our sins to one another. Many a times, I'm sorry to say this, we know the truth. The churches in itself as problem, unconfessed sins, bitterness in the church, bitterness in the ministries that we do. Dear church, that is not what God wants us to do. By God's grace, I am in ministry for 20 years now. And I'm seeing what ministry is to my understanding. When I open the Bible, when I see the word and see the world, I see a tremendous difference there even in the churches. If our sins are not being forgiven by God, if you are not willing to forgive one another, and if you are carrying bitterness, and if you are carrying hatred, if you are carrying our own plans against somebody else's plans in a church, and in our family, in our personal life, we cannot pray a righteous prayer. Bible says that we have to confess our sins to one another. The greatest fall in the kingdom of God is not because of the government coming against the church, not because of other religion coming against the church, but because of the church is not being united together in the way the church should be. If only the church stands as God ordained for the church to be on this earth, no weapons on this earth, no power on this earth, No power even in the hills, in the heavenlies can stand against the church. The greatest authority, the greatest power that God has given on this earth is for the church and church alone. If only we stand, it may be thousands of people in the church, we may have thousands, hundreds, 50, whatever may be the number, but church as is designed that God has designed. If only the design stands together as a body of Christ and confesses sin to one another and stand and pray the prayer that God wants, we can see the world shaking and being God being glorified. And dear church, there is another prayer. Unsaved person can pray and they can receive answer. If you know the story in the book of Matthew, it talks about lepers. Luke chapter 17, in chapter 17, Luke, it says, 10 lepers. The lepers were crying unto God and asking God, Jesus, heal us. And Jesus healed them. And only one person went back to the temple and met with Jesus. And Jesus asked, where are the other 9? And he said, they are gone. And Jesus said, okay, you go, you be well. Dear church, sometimes the TV evangelist and the churches across, they focus on healing, which we believe God still heals. But healing in itself doesn't bring the salvation, like Brother Tim said very clearly, baptism is not bringing the salvation. Dear church, healing is needed. We need that. But apart from all of this, we need the true salvation and the experience of salvation as we live on this earth. Many Christians, when I ask them, do you have the experience of salvation? They say, I'm saved, but I don't know what is experiencing salvation. You know, church, that's the sad thing that churches go across. They're not experiencing the joy of salvation. They're not experiencing the real deal after being saved. God in us, experiencing God in and through us, all through our life, till our death on this earth, and in eternity, we will have God all through our eternity. Experiencing the salvation is what we miss. Experiencing salvation needs a real walk with God, a closer walk with God. Many a times, I receive calls from different pastors and pastors' fellowship, and by God's grace, I want to say this for the glory of the Lord. This humbles me. Many senior pastors and 500 pastors, 300 pastors, they invite me to preach for pastors. Even though I'm young for their age, they invite me and they wanted me to hold seminars across India and other countries, like in Malaysia and Sri Lanka, and also in Nepal. As I go do those things there, you know, I wanted to see the churches stand as God intended to stand. We bring our own agendas and we say, God, this is my plan. Will you please bless this? This is what we planned and this is what we think it's right. Of course, it's according to the word. Of course, it's fully documented, just supported by the word of God. But that may not be the will of God. Dear church, God knows what to do better than the entire church in the entire world put together. God wants to speak. And God is so eager to talk to his people. I always say this. God always speaketh, but very few listeners. People come to me and say, I want to hear God. I don't know how to hear God. I don't know how to listen to God. How to hear God? I feel sorry for those people. Dear church, it is hard. Of course, it may be difficult. But I believe everyone who's born again, because the Bible says, will hear the word of the voice of God. Everyone who's called the child of God will hear the voice of God. For sure they will hear the voice of God from the word of God. And also, God speaks to our spirit. God speaks to us inside, to our inner man. God guides us. God speaks us through through the word. And sometimes he may speak to you audibly. You can hear God speaking to you. God speaks. God wants to guide us. And church, here what I'm seeing is righteous man prayer is the prayer that we are missing. Righteous man's prayer. The world needs Jesus. India has 1.3 billion people. Less than 1% are evangelical. Less than 1% people are trying to reach the nation India. It is too hard. 333 million gods the Hindu people believe in. They say all is God, God is all. They do that because they don't know the truth. We cannot underestimate them. We cannot make fun of them. We cannot neglect them. They are doing it because I am not sharing the gospel. They are doing it because we are not taking the gospel. Not just in India. Anywhere in the world, wherever the doors are open, dear church, stand up and pray unto God and ask God for the direction. If God leads, please go do the work as you are doing. When I heard the church is involved in many different nations in the missions, I praise God for this church. Being the size of this church of this size, knowing that we're going to 4 or 5 countries, what a joy. This speaks a lot about your heart for God's work. Dear church, like I said, many people in India, because of some of the tele-evangelists who are penetrating into India from US, they are just destroying the growth of God's kingdom. Name and claim. Healing and miraculous signs and wonders. And all they want is just that. Many a times, they are not preaching the word. Church, let me tell you, if you are on mission field, I know many are going on different countries on mission field. There is power in gospel. There is power in gospel. The power of gospel is enormous. No weapons can stand against it. No man can say no to those the power of gospel. If only we lead a righteous life and carry the word of God and stand on the street and proclaim the word of God, I'd say God will bring people into his fold. Amen. The city of Knoxville is big. The church is big. And I pray that this church will grow in numbers. That's a prayer that I've been praying past 2 days. God, let Parkway Baptist Church in the days to come grow in numbers. I know the church is ready for that. Many times people call me and ask me to preach on church growth. Dear church growth will not happen unless and until the pulpit is prepared for that and the pew is prepared for that. The preparation for church growth is very, very important. I always challenge a pastor saying, if only we have 50 people coming into church on one Sunday, new believers or unsaved people, if 50 people walk into our church, what will the church do? If the church is ready for that, if church is ready to handle 50 people, 10 people, 100 people, God will give. Because God's desire is to bring people into the church. The reason sometimes it may be a little hard. If the reason sometimes the people are not coming into church is because God is not bringing them into church, because the church is not ready to handle them. In the New Testament time, the Bible says God was bringing people, adding people into the church every day. Even today, God wants to do that. Even today, the God remains the same. The power of gospel remains the same. The power that is given to the church remains the same. But that's not happening because sometimes we are not prepared. And I believe now the church is preparing yourself. The church is preparing for a greater move. And I believe that if I come next time, love to see more people coming into Christ. Amen. That's my desire. That's my prayer. That's a right prayer. You need not to ask God, shall I pray a prayer like that? Because that's God's heart to bring more people into his fold. Amen. And dear church, like I said, 4 key things are very important in the church. Number 1 is word of God. Not just memorizing the word. Not just saying I know the word, but when I say word of God, the church that does the word of God. Amen. An individual and family that does the word of God. Doers of the word. Number two, a true righteous man's prayer. A true righteous prayer is needed in the church. Number three, a true worshippers. A true worshippers. Most of the time, worship, nowadays, worship becomes a fashion. Of course, we can do anything. A technology is all. If God provides, okay. But the true worshippers, they cannot go into God's presence and come back without change. A true worshipper will draw nearer to God. When a person draws near to God in worship, his life will be transformed from holiness to holiness, from holiness to holiness, from one level to another level of experiencing God. And number four is missions. And these four things will operate in and through the church. Without church, this cannot operate. And without these four, a church cannot be a strong and effective church in the community. So I was reading and studying on that, and God gave me this. I want to read what God gave me. The purchaser of the church is the Christ. The cost of the church is the Christ. The founder of the church is the Christ. The foundation of the church is the Christ. The cornerstone of the church is the Christ. The builder of the church is the Christ. The developer of the church is the Christ. The head of the church is the Christ. The body of the church is the Christ. The center of the church is the Christ. The Alpha of the church is the Christ. The Omega of the church is the Christ. The bridegroom of the church is the Christ. The resource of the church is the Christ. The reason of the church is the Christ. Dear church, this is true. Everything, all the things in the church is Christ and Christ alone. And when that comes true, where we stand in church, I love that verse says, Book of Colossians chapter 3 verse 3 says, we are hidden with Christ in God. Christ is everything in church, and we are hidden in Christ with Christ in God. Praise the Lord. We are in Christ, and God is in us, and we are in God, and church is Christ himself. Dear church, we cannot take any credit of whatever God is doing in and through us. One particular time, when I was in U.S., long back, one of my friend, even brother, Pastor Lindy, he knows him very well, Will Dawson. He flies, he's a pilot, he has a plane. Sometimes when I come to U.S., he flies me from place to place for preaching and different places. He's a good friend of mine for almost 18 years now. This man, told me, do you like to fly? He asked me, do you like to fly? I said, oh yeah. So we used to fly, but he said, okay, now today you're going to fly. I said, okay. So he just said, okay, him and myself, He took the plane off from the runway, and we were almost 4,000 to 5,000 feet above. And he told me, okay, Godwin, this is how you should do to fly this plane. If you do this, this will happen. This is the yoke and all the things, turn up, down. I said, okay, I got it. And he said, okay, now it's your time. You can fly. I said, okay. So he just gave me the thing, cockpit, and said, okay, now you're going to do. And he reclined his seat, and he was lying down there and said, okay, go ahead. I thought, oh my God, what am I doing here? So I remember my childhood days when I was trying to pedal the cycle. I was not able to do. I fell down many times and got hurt, bleeding almost. But now in the plane, I'm flying myself. So I was doing almost for 20 minutes. It was happening. I was turning up and down, and everything was happening. I was excited. I can't believe myself. And he said, do you want to continue? I said, no, fine, we'll land. And he started to land the flight, and we landed. And as we were walking into his office, he called all of his staffs, about 12, 15 staffs there. He said, you know what, Godwin, he is a very good pilot. He did a great job flying the flight for almost 25 minutes. And all started clapping their hands. And they said, hey, come on, God. And I said, okay. You know me, I thought, oh, yeah, I'm great. I did something good. And I walked into the office, and we were having a cup of coffee. As we were talking and having a cup of coffee of a few minutes, he said, Godwin, you know what? I said, what? He said, that was an autopilot. Dear church, after a few seconds, tears started rolling down from my eyes. He asked me, did I offend you? I said, no. I said, no. God started speaking to me. My son Godwin, when you come and stand before me in heaven, you may be thinking I've done all the things on earth for your glory. But when you stand before me, you will know that I did everything just using you. Dear church, no man can take credit on God's mission. No man can take credit on anything you do in the church. You may be sacrificially doing anything in the church. You may be doing in and out, day in and day out, hard work in the church and for the ministry and for God's kingdom. You know what? The truth is, if without God, we cannot do that. And we cannot boast in presence of God. A true worshiper will understand, Lord, not me, you alone. A true prayer, a righteous man's prayer will be like this. Lord, I cannot do, you can do. That's why I come into your presence. Lord, I cannot do this. I cannot take things by my own. I cannot achieve things by my own. That's why I come into your presence in prayer. Dear church, if only we pray a real prayer, if only we lead a righteous life, if only we walk with God, you can see tremendous things happening in the world. Amen. Dear Church of God, my desire is to see 1,000 churches being planted in India and across India, neighboring nations. We are working on that. We are having 116 pastors, and we are working on more. Now we are having a Bible college training them for missions and evangelism, church planting. We are seeing many things happening. We need your prayers. Like Pastor said, how the church can be involved. I know for sure you all praying. And I pray that you all will pray more. I request you all to pray for us more. We are in the dangerous time, and the government is working against us. Many different things happening against us. But praise the Lord, God's power remains the same. All we need is saints' prayer. And number two is, you can involve in coming and joining hands in India and working alongside us, because the doors are shutting just closing down very fast. So we still have some openings. You all can come and experience what God is doing there. And also, you all can involve financially, which you all are doing. I thank you all so much. Dear church, a fervent prayer, a righteous man prayer, is what God is expecting us to do. And if we do that, you will see a greatest change in your life, your family life, in your society, church. If only you have, if you only walk with Christ, if you experience God in your life, the world will experience God in your life. If only we experience God in this church, the world will experience God in this church. The world is seeking for truth. The world has no problem. They have their own problem. They are in the mess. But knowing the truth, they don't have problem. We are having problem in carrying the truth outside the doors of the church. Dear church, I thank you all so much. And I love you all in the Lord. Pastor Lindy, I thank you. And I honor you because you've always been my good friend. And year, many years, you all are praying. Thank you so much. One thing I want to say. You put me in Brother Wayne Cronin's house, and he asked me to exercise. He wanted me to be on the exercise mission. He gave me the weight. He asked me to do a workout. I don't know why. And then you put me in, you took me to your house, and Pastor was asking me to go on the bike for 15 miles. I don't know why. And then he put me in Sister Wendy's house, and they took me almost 4 miles walking. And I don't know what's going to be next. I'm going to be with Brother Tim. Brother Tim, please be kind to me. Thank you, Pastor.
Godwin, I've got good news. If it involves Tim and exercise, I think you're safe. Possibly safe. Back to a more serious side for just a moment. Jesus said, "On this rock I will build my church." What rock? The rock of Christ in us. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But, as Godwin so wonderfully shared with us, only if we pray. And only if we live obedient, surrendered to Christ lives. And so in our time of response this morning, I want to ask Donovan to go ahead and play. I want you to have a few moments, and I want you to ask the Lord to deal with your heart. Let's just focus on ourselves for a moment this morning. God, deal with my heart. Deal with my heart. Help me to have a passion to pray.